Turn with me this afternoon in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 to 16. Sometimes when a man gets older, he doesn't get wiser. And this can apply to believers as well as unbelievers. We're studying Solomon. And we saw the last time that I spoke to you from this text that even though he was very young, that he was very wise. And God gave him wisdom, and that wisdom did him in good stead for many years. But then some things happened in his life that led him into sin. And since there was this departure temporarily from God, then there was also a loss of wisdom. And we want to study this afternoon in a sermon entitled, An Old and Foolish King. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom. We would seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. We pray that you would come to our hearts, enliven our hearts, so that we would receive your good word sincerely and truly. We pray that you will lead us into the truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. We pray to benefit from the things that are spoken here today because your good spirit works in my heart and in the hearts of the hearers. That we pray that you'll come now and make yourself known to us through the preaching of this your word, for we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The last time that we were together, we were able to see how these verses can, and I believe that they do apply to Solomon himself. The principles of these verses obviously apply to kings in general, but in this case, I believe that Solomon was speaking of his own experience in a real and proverbial way so that many other people could be helped by what he had gone through. He is saying that a poor but wise youth is better than an old and foolish king who will not be admonished anymore. The key to understanding these verses is the word admonished. We saw the last time that we were together that Solomon's father, King David, was a man who did receive the admonition of what he needed to do in order to see his son Solomon established on the throne, even though Solomon was young and inexperienced. David was an old but wise king in relation to Solomon's case. But it was not always so with him. We saw how he had previously failed to admonish his son Adonijah when Adonijah was young, how he had failed to rebuke him at any time in the decisions that he made. He had failed to ask him, "Why are you doing what you are doing? Are your goals really godly?" He had failed to teach him that there is a right way and a wrong way to go about things. Sometimes if a young man is not checked, there is a way that he will assert himself to do what he thinks is best without any questions being asked of his father. And that can get him into a lot of trouble. In this case, it cost Adonijah his life. Eventually, when Solomon came into power, Adonijah presumed too much. He was too full of himself and his own ambitions, and as a result, he lost his life because he would not deal with his sin of selfish ambition. And because he did not repent, he lost his soul as well, if I'm not mistaken. So crossing your young man, not letting him get his own way in everything, teaching and correcting him to bring him to the right perspective on how to think is a very important part of good parenting. So by way of review, to admonish is when you are instructing someone, trying to tell them the right thing to do with a view to their actually changing. Admonitions should be given by a person who has the authority or the responsibility to do so in accordance with the directives of the Word of God. A parent admonishes their child because of the responsibility given to them by the Word of God. But generally, a child does not have the right to admonish a parent until they are an adult and living outside of their parents' house and have learned the lessons of truth from the Bible which has been given to them. They might respectfully disagree with something sinful that they see their parent doing, and they might utter a protest against it. And thus they would be admonishing their parent in a holy way. But in a Christian household, this would be the rare exception rather than the rule. Another example, a wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. But a husband and a wife may admonish one another in a loving sense without doing any violence to the concept of the man's being the head of the woman, even as we saw with Bathsheba admonishing David about Solomon's becoming king. And so we should understand that all Christians are to admonish each other because they are taught by the Lord to do so. They are commanded by Him to do so in a careful and loving way. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." Christians are to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Indeed, we saw last time that it was because Solomon received the admonition of his father in regard to following the Lord that the Lord established him in his kingdom. He gave Solomon not only the wisdom which he had asked for, but he gave him riches and long life as well. He was a poor but wise king. He was poor in the sense that he could not establish himself in his own kingdom. He did not have the resources or the ability to do so. He was born poor in this sense. And he was in a prison, locked up under these awkward and difficult circumstances until he received the admonition of his father. And then he prayed to God to become wise. God gave him what he asked for. But now we want to see, first of all, how Solomon went from being a poor but wise youth to being an old and foolish king. And then second, we want to see how by God's grace he came back to being a wise man once again. First of all, let's look at how Solomon went from being wise to being old and foolish. Turn with me over to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. "Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, "You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among all the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom over Israel. Now he said to me, "It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now, this was one of the most wonderful admonitions that you will find in all the Word of God. And for a time, Solomon did keep this admonition, and he did serve God with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. And having been given such wisdom and such riches and such promises, you would think that he would never have ever become an old and foolish king who would not be admonished. But let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 9, and we will find the second great admonition which was given to him, this time not by his father, but by his God. 1 Kings chapter 9. And verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me." That is his prayer at the dedication of the temple. "I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now," here comes the admonition, "if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples." Now, you can see here that all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, came to pass in the works that he built. He built the temple and dedicated it to the Lord, and the Lord promised to bless him even more yet. Look over at verse 10 of chapter 9. It says, "Now it happened at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house." That's the continuation of the building of all the works that Solomon mentioned in chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. And we see here that his wisdom was still with him, and he was doing these great things for the nation and for himself. But one wonders if what he was really doing was for God's glory or not. Well, zeal for the Lord was still there, but it was beginning to wane. In chapter 10, the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, and she came to hear his wisdom. In verse 6, she said to the king, it was a report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king, to do justice and righteousness. What glorious statements we find here, and all of this was true. But we find nothing of Solomon's giving glory to God for what he had given to him, or what he had allowed him to build and to do and to accomplish. And I think that this was a turning point with him. He goes on to do great and mighty things for a short time yet. In verse 23, it says, "So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which the Lord had put in his heart." It reminds me of verses 15 and 16 of our text. "I saw all the living who walk under the sun, and they were with the second youth who stands in his place." In terms of Solomon's experience and his living his life, he was in this second stage. He was the middle-aged man who had grown up to be a mighty king, and everyone was seeking his wisdom and his favor. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. And although there were so many people who sought Solomon for the right reasons at this stage, yet those who came afterward would not rejoice in him. So Solomon knew tremendous popularity, and everyone was seeking his wisdom, and yet he fell into doing things which were foolish and sinful. Look at chapter 11. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love." In other words, he did not heed the admonition of the Lord to him. And it says here, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Look at verse 9 now. "So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded." That is how Solomon became an old and foolish king. He had not received the admonition of the Lord to heed it. He was better as a poor youth in his prison of not being able to establish himself as king. Well, second, we now want to see how Solomon came back from this and became wise again. There is one sense, the sense of his earthly kingdom, in which Solomon never did come back from this. Listen to 1 Kings 11, verses 9 to 13. "Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, 'Because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen.'" So God would chasten Solomon through adversaries that he would raise up against him. But he would not remove his loving kindness from Solomon because of the greatness of the promises that he had given to David. It is even so with us. God will not remove his loving kindness from us if we sin as a believer in Christ, because he remembers what Christ has done for us as the man after his father's own heart. Christ died, and so we are shown mercy and live forever. Christ lives forever so that his prayers and desires for us will all be fulfilled to all eternity. And his desire is that we would be brought back from all of our backslidings and that our iniquities would be subdued. Micah 7:18. "Who is a pardoning God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. The way that God brought Solomon back and subdued his iniquities was by bringing him to see the vanity of living life apart from God and the keeping of his commandments. He came back in repentance by writing this book, and he was enabled by God to write this very book, where at the end of it he says, "And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. God was faithful to his promise to David, which is found in Psalm 89, verse 30. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break. Are you not glad for the faithfulness of our God to us as believers, that God will not remove his loving kindness from us who believe in Christ? Because of Christ, God's faithfulness will not fail, nor will it ever come to an end. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we give you thanks that you are a righteous and holy God. You cannot overlook sin, even in your people, those whom you have forgiven all their sins, and you have taken them and removed them from them as far as the east is from the west. But nevertheless, you must deal with those sins in their heart and in their life and bring your chastening where you see it's needed. We pray that we would so walk before you, dear Lord, that we would not require as much chastening as Solomon went through, and indeed that we would walk uprightly before you, and we would go from grace to having grace and strength to having strength, and that we would appear before you in Zion, and that we would not be ashamed when we see you face to face. Help us to live to your glory. Help us to walk consistently and uprightly before you and to fulfill all that you have called us to do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.